Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church of America elected its first openly gay bishop on Friday in California. Wake up, Martin
Luther. Welcome to the future. Is this committee really prepared to go to the south side of Chicago in neighborhoods that have never seen a father? And are you really prepared to tell those people that kids don't need a mother and father?
The day of grace is today. The day of grace is every day, and the day of grace is forever.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
It's one of those parables that you first read it and you think, okay, I think it makes pretty much sense. But the closer you read it, the more detail that you examine in a parable like this, Jesus telling these parables where very few details are extraneous, very few details are just there to move the story along. We have Jesus telling the parable of a man who throws a great feast, not just a dinner party, not just inviting a few friends over. It's a great feast, and he intends his feasting hall, to be completely full. But none of the people who he invites are willing to come. They're not rude about it. They're all very polite. They ask very politely with pleases to be excused. And none of them, in the end, taste this man's feast. What is this parable all about? It's found in Luke chapter 14, the story of a banquet invitation that is refused. We're going to be talking about that during our pastor's roundtable. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 6th of June. We're giving away the Lutheran Study Bible to the listener with the best question or comment during this hour. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. You can go to our Facebook fan page, and right there at our Facebook fan page, leave a question or a comment for our pastor's roundtable on this parable. Make sure you leave your city and state. We'd like to know where you're listening. Facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us for our pastor's roundtable, Pastor Brian Holley. He's pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois. Brian, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
And on the phone with us from Kimberling City, Missouri, we reach Pastor Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, Pastor Richard Futrell. Richard, welcome back.
Greetings to you from Missouri.
Pastor Holley, this is a common theme with Jesus. Dining banquets, wedding banquets. This one is not explicitly a wedding banquet, but it has a lot of affinity for other parables that Jesus has told. Why is Jesus always trying to get people in these stories around a table for feasting?
Yeah, the whole notion in the ancient world of who you ate with was quite an important question. It marked you. It told a lot about what you valued and what you treasured. So who you were eating with, and you have to remember, Jesus had been getting together with and eating with some kind of a low class of people, at least in the eyes of the Pharisees. And he kept meeting and he kept talking to these sinners and these tax collectors rather than palling around with the better Pharisees and that class of people. And it fits real well. We understand Jesus' teaching about how he didn't come for the self-righteous of the world. He came for the poor, the crippled, the lame, those who had nothing to offer, those who needed salvation. That's why he had come. And so eventually in that great banquet we look forward to, that's us, the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, and he comes so that we might look forward to an eternal banquet with him.
Richard, this is a parable that is told about a banquet, and he's telling it at a banquet. So give us some of the context here so we can understand where it fits.
We can say there's a little bit of irony in there. Yeah, this is a banquet that takes place on a Sabbath day, and it's with a prominent Pharisee who invites Jesus. Now, of course, you know, Judaism at the time was divided up into several different groups, but the Pharisees were probably the closest theologically to Jesus. They believed in the resurrection, and so we will hear that mentioned a little bit before Jesus begins his parable. So he's at this feast, and he sees a lot of prominent people there, and they're kind of jockeying for position, as Pastor Holly was kind of alluding to earlier. They wanted to have the right position so they can be, you know, they can kind of get as much as they can out of being at this particular banquet. And Jesus comments on that. And he's saying, well, hey, don't jockey and get the best seat. Just, you know, take a seat lower down, and that way when you're invited forward, you can have your position rather than having been told to sit back. And then Jesus tells the man who invited him, this Pharisee, to say, well, you know, when you invite people to a banquet, just don't invite your friends because, well, they're going to pay you back. But invite the people who can't pay you back, the lame and the poor, the blind, because you'll be paid back in eternity at the resurrection of the dead, of the righteous. And it's then that we start getting into the beginning of where Jesus is going to tell his parable, where someone says, oh, yes, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. In other words, blessed is everyone who will eat at the marriage feast of the Lamb in the kingdom, which has no end. And that's the setting.
Now, I've often wondered about that because it sounds like the unnamed person, that person who's reclining with Jesus, who kind of blurts out this hopeful thought about eating bread in the kingdom of God, Jesus kind of tamps him down a little bit. I mean, what he ends up telling him, Pastor Holly, is a story about who gets in and who gets out, and the people who were initially invited, they did have a legitimate invitation from the man who held the banquet. None of them get to eat. None of them even get to even smell the banquet. They're all eventually left out. What's the greater point that Jesus is making here?
Well, this guy makes an observation, and he's right. I mean, who can really argue that if you get to participate in the eternal banquet, the great marriage feast, who can argue? That truly is to be blessed. But I think in the man's statement, there are some unspoken thoughts there. And I think what the guy is kind of trying to say here is, hey, blessed is everyone. Well, who's blessed? Who are these who will eat at this table, at this great banquet? And I think the unspoken insinuation is, blessed are those people who are like us, who are worthy, who follow the right rules, who do the right things, who know the right things. Yeah, we're blessed. We're not poor. We're not lame. We're not crippled. Yeah. People like us, oh man, that'll be great when we finally make it. And so what the man says is true, if understood properly, but I think his notion of what it means to be blessed is a little bit messed up here.
It says in verse 16, but Jesus said to him, so it's a direct response to what the man has said. A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. The way that Jesus puts this in the original language of Luke's gospel, Pastor Futrell, is kind of interesting. It's kind of maybe a situation with which anyone in first century Palestine would immediately resonate. Someone's holding a big banquet. Everyone would hope to be invited. And I think the order of the day in any kind of village would be you invited everyone. It was kind of considered bad form not to invite everyone who of any kind of social standing. He even sends out a specially handpicked servant to tell everybody it's all ready. What would have been the proper response in kind of the real life world had this taken place? A man puts his banquet together, gets it all ready, and then sends the servant out to call those who are invited.
Yes. Well, I mean, Jesus is setting this up. So, you know, so there's no doubt there. Obviously, the expected response is, of course, well, yeah, of course everyone's going. And as was the typical way that invitations were given out back then, it was given really ahead of time and then right at the time when it's prepared. So it's not as if, you know, these people are completely zinged, unaware that a banquet is about to happen. They know that it is happening. In fact, they should be expecting it, and they should be ready for it. So, you know, and that's exactly what's happening. So, yeah, now everything is ready. Okay. Let everybody know that, hey, it's prepared so they can all come. So that's the setup.
Yeah, and I don't think we should see in their excuses, oh, that's unfortunate. They had a previous engagement, and so the invitation comes, and wow, their calendar for that day is filled. We just had a wedding in our household this past weekend. So the save the dates had already been sent out. People knew about this. This servant was just coming to tell them that, hey, everything is now ready. The thing you should have been planning for, it's all now set. And I love the word, everything is ready. He could have said, it is now finished. Everything's done that need to be done for this banquet. Just come and enjoy the gift. And so now the people got it. Oh man, yeah. What about this gift, this meal? You know, I don't know. I'm not sure I want it. Not sure I need it. And then the excuses start.
All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to start with the list of excuses. And the word there means, I think, they begged off, and they're so polite about it. He said, please, allow me to be absent. Allow me to be excused from this. I have bought some land. I really need to go look at it. I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. I got to go try them out. You got to understand. I've married me a wife. There's a great excuse. And so you will understand why I can't come. Well, as polite as they are, what does it mean to refuse the grace of God? Is that what we're talking about? We'll answer that question right after this.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
You're 8 days away from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christ Lutheran is a welcoming congregation in Rochester, Minnesota, providing traditional liturgy and hymns, word and sacraments. Call 507-289-0271. That's 507-289-0271. Or visit ChristRochester.org. Christ Lutheran Church, receiving and sharing Christ's mercy.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler? Would you like to learn more about teaching students the essentials of biblical interpretation, law and gospel, or worldviews from a Lutheran perspective? Come join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 16th through the 18th at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, visit ccle.org. That's ccle.org.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
The American Repertory Singers with the first stanza of the hymn, Thine the Amen, Thine the Praise. It's our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday afternoon, the 6th of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Brian Holly, Pastor Richard Futrell are our guests. The Lutheran Study Bible is a resource that we like to give away to our listeners. We give it away every roundtable because it's the kind of resource you want to see in your listeners' hands. Pastors want to see it in their parishioners' hands. It's one of those study Bibles that will not steer you wrong, not just because it has the name Lutheran on it, but because it doesn't try to do anything that a study Bible ought not to do. It sticks clearly with Scripture, where it follows that great principle that I think is so often lost in Bible study, and that is where Scripture speaks, we may speak with all boldness. Where Scripture doesn't speak, we simply stop talking and we say, we don't know, the Bible doesn't say. It's one of the guiding principles of the scholarship behind the Lutheran Study Bible. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order the Lutheran Study Bible, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We were talking before the break, Pastor Futrell, and you were, I think Brian was mentioning something about how this servant going out to those who had been invited could just as well have said, it's finished. And I heard you chuckling a bit. What struck you there?
Oh, well, yeah. Pastor Holly's a theologian's theologian, and so he's making a connection to Christ's words on the cross there where he said it is finished. But I'd like to rewind just a moment, because I think when we see this, we're sometimes we don't quite understand how the Pharisees could be so presumptuous, and in our thinking, even arrogant, on how they're automatically in the kingdom of God, and there's no doubt about that at all. And I think, you know, we're historically missing a little link, and I think this will kind of give us a background as to where the Pharisees came from and why they're so presumptuous as, yeah, we're automatically going to be in the marriage feast of the Lamb in the kingdom in eternity. I mean, if you go back to the time when the Israelites were basically conquered by Alexander the Great, and you know, and then of course his governmental descendants, in a sense, the Seleucids, ended up ruling Israel or Judea at the time. Well, there was a revolt, you know, a couple hundred years before Jesus was in Israel, maybe not that long before, where a guy named Simon Maccabeus ended up revolting against the Seleucid rulership, because they were trying to make the Israelites Greek. They put in a pagan, they put a Zeus a figure in the temple, they slaughtered pigs in the Jerusalem temple simply to desecrate the temple. And so there was this group called the in Maccabees, they're called Hasideans. But that's, in Hebrew, that would be Hasidim. And it's these Hasidim, these ones who want to be loyal or faithful, from the word Hesed. It's they join with the Maccabees and throw off the rule of the Seleucids. And it's these Hasidim who end up becoming the Perushim, which are the Pharisees. And so their lineage goes back to not only being super righteous and knowing the law, but even helping Israel become independent for 80 years. So they have this very strong lineage. They've inherited this. It's one of presumption. These are the guys. If you want to be anybody who's righteous, it's these guys. They were civically the paragon to live up to. They were religiously the guys who knew the law. They were it.
So, I mean, this is a point that we can't make too many times when it comes to discussing the role of the Pharisees in the New Testament Gospels. We read it through the filter of lots of Sunday school lessons that have the Pharisees all kind of crouching in the corner. They're all kind of swarthy men with twisting their mustaches and villain-like poses and things like that. But the picture that the first century average peasant would have had of a Pharisee would be of an absolutely upstanding, trustworthy, good person. I mean, if you said who are the real good guys, a first century peasant would have said Pharisee Joe. He's the best guy I know.
And it ties in, you know, they're tied into the very strong nationalism of the time. And so, and we can kind of see how they completely misunderstand Jesus because, you know, they're nationalistic as well. And they're even kind of yearning for the days of the Maccabees when they could become politically independent. So I just kind of wanted to bring this up so at least we have some idea on when they seem so arrogant and presumptuous to us. Well, in a sense, through history, tradition, and culture, you could say they're entitled to be that way.
All right. What do we make of these excuses here, Brian? Because they seem pretty plausible excuses. I mean, if you said we need to remember it's not previous engagements. They are coming up with stuff. They're kind of like, I bought some land. That's what I did. They're coming up with this stuff. But they sound like plausible excuses. I bought land. I got me some – it's like buying a new tractor. I'd like to go out and try it out. And I got married, for heaven's sakes. You can't expect me to show up for a banquet if I just got a wife.
Yeah, and this, and they're making excuses. The fact is they don't want this banquet. They don't feel like they need this banquet. Look, they see themselves as blessed already. I mean, step back for a moment. The guy just bought some land. He's blessed. The guy has 5 yoke of oxen. He is blessed in the eyes of this world. The guy is celebrating his new marriage. These guys, they're blessed. What this master offers just isn't that appealing to him, and we're gonna see how the master responds. And you don't even have to be an expert in the ways of the ancients to understand that this was an insult. This was quite insulting to the man who had prepared this banquet and made everything ready. And it's such that it is such an insult that these guys never have a part of his banquet.
So. Is it? We often picture it as kind of like Donald Trump throws a soiree at the country club, but for some strange reason, no one thinks it's worth their time to attend, which is ridiculous. If you got the invitation, you'd find a way to attend. Are we seeing here that in these who refuse the invitation, Pastor Futrell, it's not just their disregard for the event, but for the man who's throwing the event?
Oh yeah, it's both. I mean, if you respected the man, even if you didn't want to go for some reason, you would show up because he means so much to you. And everything Pastor Hawley said is correct. But part of this is that because the way that these announcements went out is that you have the earlier announcement. So let's say if you're planning a wedding or whatever, and you know this big feast is taking place, you know, in which you know you should go and you want to go and you want to be invited and you respect the owner of the house. Well, you would say, okay, well, I'll plan my wedding another day. So it's not as if, you know, they knew this was coming down the road, and their disregard for it is not simply that they were caught unaware. Is they even, in their planning, they just said, well, whatever, it doesn't matter. So it's disregard in more than one way.
But they are very polite about it. I mean, it's hard to convey in the in the Greek into English perfectly, but they are saying, oh, you know, please, please excuse me. I mean, they're just saying it in the kindest possible way to be excused. What do we make of that, Brian?
Well, they're good people. I mean, these are the kind of people that their neighbors would have described, you know, well, who were the good people in town? Well, you would have pointed to these guys. Yeah, they knew the proper way to speak. They knew the proper way to host parties. Although when Jesus comes to this banquet, to this feast, he points out maybe a different way of doing things, which was completely at odds with kind of the normal expected way. So, yeah, they were very polite, yet they were totally missing the point. And this parable comes on the heels of him suggesting humility. Not this self-exalted, self-righteous, not only do we not want to go to your thing, but we don't care enough for you to attend after you've made all the preparations. So it's a very arrogant, self-righteous sort of an attitude that's hid in a very polite way. I remember when I was a kid listening to congressmen. Oh, my esteemed colleague from the great state. Oh, come on. lose the civility. We know what you really mean.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about the anger of the man, the master of the house, he is called. He grows angry, and yet he's still going to have his banquet. We'll be right back.
The Reformation in the Christian context went back to the original founders, the apostles. Now, if you apply this model to Islam, where would we go back to the original founders of Islam?
Sociologist Dr. Alvin Schmidt, author of The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West.
You'd go to Muhammad, the man who was in many ways Islam's first terrorist, who conquered the world by the sword, and who said, I'm the last of the prophets, and I'm sent with the sword. And to think that we can have reformation like we had in the Christian context is a specious argument.
You can meet and hear Dr. Alvin Schmidt making the case against Islam on June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. It's the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Check it out at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Thy mercy is high from thee.
That's stanza three of the hymn, Thine the Amen, Thine the Praise. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. It's our Pastor's Roundtable looking at Jesus' story about the banquet invitation in Luke chapter 14. Pastor Brian Holly is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois, and Pastor Richard Futrell, pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri. Both their congregations are members of the Issues, Etc. 300. That means they're part of our congregational support program. Their congregations support Issues, Etc. to the tune of $1,000 or more in their budget, and it is budget planning time. Your congregation has an opportunity to join the Issues, Etc. 300 anytime or renew anytime, but this is that time of the year where congregations are making that decision. Go to your congregation and ask them to join the Issues, Etc. 300. We got a one-page flyer that you can use to help you make your case with the congregation. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. It's a one-page flyer you can download and print off when you ask your congregation to join the Issues, Etc. 300. And a special thanks to both Pastor Holly and Futrell and their congregations, Messiah Lutheran in Lebanon, Illinois, and Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran in Kimberling City for being part of the Issues, Etc. 300. Well, okay, we have the excuses being made, and then we have the, I can picture this servant coming back after having, with nothing, with no one following him whatsoever. He comes back alone to the master of the house and reports it to him, and the response is anger. How should we read this, Pastor Futrell? What does it mean that the person being depicted here by the master of the house is angry at the lack of response to his invitation?
Well, I'm hoping I'm not going to spill the beans too early, but, you know, when it starts out and the person talks about, Jesus says, being repaid at the resurrection of the righteous, and then, of course, a man chimes in and says, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. In other words, blessed are those who will dine with God in eternity. And when Jesus starts his parable, he then says, there was a man. Well, okay, in that context, who is that man? Well, it's God the Father. Okay, so what is this anger? Well, it's God's righteous anger that people are spurning his invitation, his grace, his free meal, if you want to just kind of use that earthly meal context. That's what it is.
And God is, you said righteous anger. I mean, are we going too far to say that when his people of the Old Testament, for whom he had been preparing this banquet for millennia, who had been invited all the way back in Genesis chapter 12 with Abraham for this feast, and had heard that invitation again and again and again, when it's finally finished and it's all ready, say no, we got better things to do. Is it right to say that God is angry with his people for refusing? Pastor Futrell?
Well, yeah, that's exactly what it's saying. It's pretty clear cut.
And I think, you know, sometimes we can understand if I give my kids some rules to follow, I expect them to be followed, but I also understand they may or may not always be followed the way I want. That's one thing. But when I offer them a gift of some sort and they then reject it or have no desire for it, you know, rejecting the gospel is worse than disobeying the law. I mean, this is gift type stuff. All the preparations are made. This is, you said it earlier, this is a great banquet. Anyone who can should want to be there. There's no other way of looking at it. And to insult the master, the Lord of all creation, God himself, to insult him by saying, no, I'm good. I'm good with what I have, what you're offering me. No thanks. I'm good on my own.
There's a hymn, Pastor Futrell, that is based upon this and another version of this parable written by Martin Franzmann, I believe. What's the name of the hymn now? Impossible to sing. Oh God, our Lord of heaven and earth.
Oh God, O Lord of heaven and earth.
Futrell can sing it, you know, but few people, other people can. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a amazing kind of poetic line in there. A God who canst not brook man's cool and callous enmity. And he picks up on this picture of these people who, it's cool. They're not angry with God. They don't hate God. I mean, I don't think they do. It's a cool and it's a callous enmity toward God. It's the kind of enmity that's like, well, please, let me out of this invitation because I got better things to do. We so often talk about man's hostility toward God, but it takes this form of, I just don't care about you at all. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts there?
Well, that definitely seems to be the context here. It's not as if they're, telling the master of the house to, it's not as if they're telling him off, but they're really saying politely that thanks, but no thanks. Other than turning down the feast with a veneer of politeness, it's really no difference than telling off the master of the house.
So the master, after becoming angry, says to his servant, Pastor Holly, "Go quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame." In other words, people who don't get invited to banquets. What's going on here? How is this played out in history for us to see?
Well, and I think we hearken back to the verse just before this particular reading when Jesus tells the Pharisees, the guys you're inviting, you're getting it wrong. You need to invite this type of people. And those are the people that then the master then sends a servant out to invite. And these are the people that ever since the Old Testament time have been waiting for the healing promised of God. These are the blind, the lame, the crippled, the poor, who have nothing to offer. And I think if we have to ask the question, who do all these guys represent? And I think the Pharisee in the first three characters, that's pretty close. But if you want to expand the circle from the Pharisees, you go first to the Jews. And so he sends them to those Jews, not a part of the Pharisees, if you will, but those who are still within the city. They're still part of that group that might have, could have expected an invitation or knew what was going on. They were part of the group. So maybe the other Jews, those who were in need of the righteousness and the healing that God offered, but didn't consider themselves too good or not needful of such help.
I notice what they are. They're poor, crippled, blind, lame. The first one, people who may not have accepted an invitation because they didn't have anything to wear, but the rest of them can't even get in the door.
Right.
They're not even mobile.
Yeah, they're powerless.
A blind man can't find your house if someone doesn't lead him.
Yeah. Yeah, they need great help. So much help even to they don't even have an expectation of going to such a banquet. Such is their condition.
Is there a strong emphasis here, Richard, on the fact that these people, we get to the people who have to be compelled in a minute? But these people who are brought in to fill the wedding feast are people who have to be brought in. They can't come under their own steam. They don't arrive in their limousines.
Yeah. This is oozing with grace. I mean, these are all the people who can't come in, who don't deserve to come in, and yet here they are. They have God's invitation. They're being brought into the feast. And when we get to the compel part, we'll exactly see. We'll see all the more how being brought into this feast is all God's doing.
And, once they get there, these are not the kind of people that then go take the seats of honor. And that was talked about just before this particular reading. These are the folks that are humbly just thankful to be in because they know they don't even deserve it. And then Jesus goes on to, I think, expand the circle even further. Now go out to the highways and hedges. Go beyond this group of people. Go to the others. Go to the outsiders. And I see it as being a reference to the Gentiles. He wants his banquet hall filled to the max, and the promised people, those invited, those blood descendants of Abraham, if you will, they're not going to fill it, those poor, crippled, lame ones. So he goes out, and to an ancient person, such an invitation, as I understand it, would likely have refused such an invitation. And so they have to be encouraged. They have to be compelled. They have to be brought in. See, the Pharisees would never have welcomed a Gentile or someone like this. And normally a Gentile probably wouldn't have even involved himself in that goings-on. So these people have to be compelled to be brought in. They don't even think the gift is for them. And I think you see a marvelous picture of God's grace spilling over. Yes, Jesus came to the Jews, but he wasn't sent just for the Jews.
We're talking with Pastor Brian Holly, pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois, and Pastor Richard Futrell, pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City. It's our Pastor's Roundtable this Thursday afternoon, June the 6th. We are coming to you live, and we can take your questions and your comments on the other side of the break. Happy to do so. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at Issues ETC, or leave a question for our Pastor's Roundtable at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of Issues Etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, Issues Etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Do you struggle to reach out to friends or family members who have questions about Christianity? Well, we have just the resource for you. It's a new book titled What They Need to Hear, Sharing Christ with Family and Friends. It's written by regular guest Pastor Clement Preuss. What They Need to Hear is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. What They Need to Hear, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. American Repertory Singers with the fourth stanza of the hymn, Thine the Amen, Thine the Praise. We're talking about the story of the wedding, the banquet invitation, I should say, that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 14. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Our Pastor's Roundtable, Pastor Brian Holly, Pastor Richard Futrell. Richard, I'm curious about something, just backing up a little bit into verse 22. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a detail that we probably shouldn't overlook, and that is even after the first wave of guests are brought in from the city streets, these blind, lame, poor, and crippled, there's still room.
Yes, yes.
What are your thoughts there?
Oh, well, you know, it's
it just shows that if you want to read this, you know, from a macro view, there's always room for everyone. And so we see the master say in the next verse, "We'll go out to the highways and hedges and compel the people to come in." The highways and hedges are people outside the city. You know, in other words, they're not the Jews, they're the Gentiles. So now even Gentiles will be eating in the kingdom, the banquet in eternity. So, oh yeah, it's so beautiful.
A big question that we've kind of touched upon but haven't explored completely, from Daniel in Patterson, California. He says, please expand on the word compel. How forceful is that word? What does it include or exclude? Richard, why don't you start, since I think you said already that you wanted to talk about kind of the nature of grace regard to that word.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the Greek word anagkazo. It definitely has the idea of force and compel. It can mean simply to urge very strongly or persuasively. But in this particular context, it's really, you know, you're compelling your, you know, force has a bad connotation, but really you're bringing them in, and in a sense, they have nothing to do with being brought into this feast. And so such a word as that makes it clear. We need to read that in a positive light rather than a negative light. You know, I think as Americans, we'll see this force word and we'll automatically kind of have a knee-jerk reaction against it. But this is really, you know, wow, I'm compelled and I get to be at this feast where there is no way I shouldn't even be allowed to get near the door. And yet I'm in it and enjoying it. I mean, that's what we're to get out of that.
And I think it's real helpful to remember the kind of the juxtaposition here of kind of the self-righteous, we're good, we're blessed, pharisaical take on things versus the humility that Christ urges. And when you think about some of these that would come to the banquet, in their humility, we've all known people who sometimes the humble, you have to compel. I this is a silly illustration, but I run across it with some of my elder members that are beloved in the congregation. When we're having a congregational meal, everyone wants them to go first. It's an honor we want to afford them. Darn, folks won't go. And so finally I have to go over and compel them. Mm-hmm. Such is the nature of true humility. And when you think about these people, they understand we don't belong here. That we have no claim here. And yet we've been included in this incredible banquet. And so, yeah, I would agree. It's not a forceful compelling, although, you know, sometimes I have to fuss at the folks. Come on.
So this is not force at the end of a sword.
No.
But this, which is the way we often read that compel, but this is, in fact, kind of the taking them by the elbow and saying, no, you get to go to the front of the line. Whether you think you deserve it or not, you're getting to go to the front of the line.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, and it leaves room, I guess, it leaves room. We are not talking here about some kind of irresistible grace, but this is grace. Incredible gifts offered, encouraged, faith created from nothing. And yet, yeah, no, you're going, and by golly, it doesn't matter what you do, I'm taking you. It's not that kind of a compel.
He says, go out and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled, since there seems to be kind of a bookend here with the fact that there's still room, but he says, nope, it's not full enough. We need to keep filling it up until my house is filled. What do you see there, Richard?
Well, you know, if we're to read this, in other words, if we're to read this, okay, we've really parsed or really looked at the setting, you know, which Jesus spoke this, okay. But now, what about us? Where we're kind of the institutionalized ones, the ones who say we have the presumption that we're automatically in the kingdom, sort of thing. So yeah, you know, it's you know, the church is for everyone, and so yeah, all are supposed to come and receive the grace of God.
You know, I'm not sure how much support this would have, but I've been struck by this in recent years when I wrestle with this text. I remember when Jesus was on the cross, he drinks the cup of God's wrath, and then he speaks those, and then after saying, my God, why have you forsaken me, he speaks those incredible words, I thirst. And the whole time I grew up as a kid, I thought it just meant he was thirsty. But I've come to understand that I think what Jesus was saying there on the cross is, I thirst, I desire to drink every ounce of your wrath, O God, so that no people must ever face it. I thirst, make sure the cup is empty. Make sure you dump it all out on me. And I see here, this is the master desiring that his banquet be full. He doesn't want to miss anyone. He would love it if everyone was there at this great meal. That's his real desire. He's not seeking to punish anyone. Unfortunately, that's what's going to end up happening. But his desire is for everyone to be a part of his kingdom.
In verse 24, "For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." And the question comes from James in Redlands, California. Who are those invited guests that shall never taste the banquet? Richard.
Well, in this context and setting in which Jesus tells the parable, it's the Jews. Hey, we don't need you, Jesus. What you have to offer, we don't want. We're fine on our own. Those are the people who will not taste. And so when they reject, you know, what they didn't get is that when you reject Jesus, you're also rejecting the Father. And so they're rejecting the man who holds the banquet in this parable that Jesus is telling.
Now, Gene in St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin, asks this: "I'm concerned about the right approach for the application of this parable. Many sermons equate the invitation of the parable with the invitation to come to church and hear the gospel. But coming to church every Sunday does not guarantee eternal life. Likewise, skipping church does not mean that one has abandoned God's invitation. If we're going to make the application to Sunday morning, would it be better to think of church attendance as equal to pinning the invitation on your refrigerator? That is, keep the glory and excitement of the coming feast always before your eyes." That's a very interesting way of putting it. Gene, thank you very much for listening in Wisconsin. Let's let both of you take a stab at this one. Should we say that this is about coming to church? First, Pastor Holly.
I think Gene makes some really good points, and I think one has to be careful with the application of this, because we have to be careful that we don't turn, for example, going to church into just another ultimate good work, which makes you so good you deserve the invitation. We never deserve the invitation. We are always crippled, blind, and lame, and we need grace. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to relegate going to church to just a reminder on the refrigerator, because if you think about what happens at church, the master comes. At church, his servant, his son, comes and delivers to us incredible gifts. Gifts of forgiveness in words of absolution, the gift of his life-saving and life-changing word, and of course, the gift of his Holy Supper, in which we receive forgiveness, and which we often describe as a foretaste of the feast to come. So, in a sense, the banquet has already begun, and why would you want to miss that?
Pastor Futrell, about 30 seconds for your thoughts on the same question.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the feast has ties in with the supper. It's the one eternal feast that never ends. The Lord's Supper, every time we come to worship, we gather and join in that feast. So it's not as if I'm going to multiple Lord's Suppers. But every time I come to the Lord's Supper, it is then that I'm worshiping with the saints in heaven, and we join with them in the marriage feast of the Lamb in the kingdom here on earth. And so when we see that as the invitation, how could we ever say no? That's how we're supposed to see it. And to say no just means, oh, well, hey, I got something else going on. It should never even, nothing else should be more important than that.
Pastor Richard Futrell is pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri. Richard, thank you.
Okay.
Pastor Brian Holly is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois. Brian, thank you.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun.
Daniel in California, send us your mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org, and we will send you the Lutheran Study Bible. You've been hearing us talk about the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, and I know that you want to attend, but you can't afford the $100 registration fee. I understand that, too. We're going to give away two scholarships, and here's how you can enter to win. Invite your friends to attend the conference using email, Twitter, Facebook, or any of the other social media, and send the text of your invitation to contest at issuesetc.org. Also send us the number of friends that you've invited, contest at issuesetc.org. Now, the listener with the most creative friends invitation and the most friends invited, both those listeners, will receive a scholarship to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. That's June the 14th and the 15th right here in Collinsville, Illinois. The email address, again, to send your invitation that you sent to all your friends and the number of friends that you invited on whatever social network you're using, contest at issuesetc.org, contest at issuesetc.org. We'll announce the winners tomorrow. Well, I think we're all those who've been compelled to come in. I know the Holy Spirit's got to compel me every Sunday to go to the feast, but I'm glad He does. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
We're giving away two scholarships to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Just invite your friends to attend the conference using Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or email, and send the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited to contest at issuesetc.org. The listener with the most creative invitation and the most friend invites will receive a scholarship to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll announce the winner on Friday, June 7th.